Building a business may feel like a big jump, but OnDeck Small Business Loans can help keep you afloat. With lines of credit up to $100,000 and term loans up to $250,000, OnDeck lets you choose the loan that's right for your business. As a top-rated online small business lender, OnDeck's team of loan advisors can help you find the right business loan to fit your needs. Visit OnDeck.com for more information. Depending on certain loan attributes, your business loan may be issued by OnDeck or Celtic Bank. OnDeck does not lend in North Dakota. All loans and amounts subject to lender approval.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Here's an offer you don't want to miss. For just $3, treat yourself to a Krispy Kreme donut, like their irresistible chocolate donut with sprinkles, and an any size hot coffee or refreshing iced tea. Just three. Whether you're fueling up for the day or just taking a sweet break, this deal is for you. Price and participation may vary. Offer valid December 10th through April 30th, 2025 at participating McDonald's while supplies last. Krispy Kreme and associated trademarks used under license. Copyright 2024 KKDC. Copyright 2024 McDonald's.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
So the creator of Sex and the City, kind of to some extent the person around whom Sex and the City formed as well as being written by her, she is coming to Dublin with her one-woman show, True Tales of Sex, Success and Sex in the City. She's going to be playing in Dublin's Three Olympia Theatre on May 13th, 2025, and tickets are on sale now. She is with us this morning, Candace Bushnell. Good morning, how are you?
I am doing great. How are you?
I am very good. Candace, before we talk Sex and the City and all of the rest of it, I hadn't realised that you, when you were working for the New York Observer, what sort of led to the column was the profiles that you had been doing. Do you recall any particular favourites among them?
I do, but they probably wouldn't be people who one would know. You know, they were much more local in a way. Local insider New York City people. You know, there was one that I did of an editor, James Truman, which I just really enjoyed doing. And then there was this very famous and somewhat notorious publicist called Peggy Siegel. And that was a great one. So I was really profiling New Yorkers, people who were insider New Yorkers who everybody in New York knew.
Now, it had to be a huge shift then in, not in voice, but in style to move into doing the column, because you went from having to, not having to, but fronting up whoever was the person you were profiling to semi-gonzo, making it about yourself.
No, none of that is true.
Oh, good. No. Explain.
No, I started writing professionally when I was 19 and I was a magazine writer. And I was once a staff writer when I was quite young in my early 20s for a Condé Nast magazine. And we had to write about everything. And so one of the things that I wrote about was relationships, always a humorous take on relationships, because there was a big upheaval in relationships in the 80s as women came into the workforce. And I also did celebrity profiles. And the plus of doing the celebrity profiles was, you know, in those days, you got to fly to Los Angeles, first class, and they would put you up at a really nice hotel, fancy, and then you would go and interview the celebrity for an hour, and you would probably, like, go to the set. So that, it was a bit of a glamour job. So I always did a lot of those. So when I worked for the New York Observer, and then, you know, Sex and the City was really a continuation of all of the work that I've been doing in the 80s, you know, as was doing profiles. You know, I'd already been, you know, writing professionally for, I think, 13 years when I started writing for the New York Observer. So I really knew what I was doing.
You had done it with significant success to that point, but very few people in any journalism enjoy the kind of success that Sex and the City had. How quickly did you know this thing is different?
I mean, look, honestly, one of the things that made it successful was the fact that this publication, the New York Observer, was read by men. The audience was probably 60-70% men. So it was considered an important publication. My writing wasn't really any different the audience was different. So people just consider things that are in men's publications more important than things that are in women's publications. And because I was writing for a publication that was read by men, all of a sudden my writing became much more important and much more interesting.
God, that's fascinating. So, that the readership is was what changed the perception.
Absolutely. But all these men were reading this column. Because the column and the book, Sex and the City, a lot of it, it's probably as much about men and their dating and mating habits as it is about women. So I did interview men, a lot of men, including Peter Beard. And I interviewed men about threesomes. And, you know, other men are interested in that stuff. They are. You know it. And they, you know, and so, and then it came to the notice of HBO, for instance, and other, and ABC. So it came to the notice of men in positions of power, and that was how it grew.
Now, I realize that was very advantageous from your perspective, both then and in royalties through ever since. But did you resent the fact that it was, that it took a male interest in something that you had been previously providing to a mixed and largely female audience? Was it annoying that that was such a catalyst?
No. Unfortunately, that's business. And that's kind of the, that's just kind of the way that business is. It helps if you pair with a man. That's one of the realities. I mean, for instance, and you know, there are a lot of businesses. Venture capitalism, for instance, you know, I mean, one of the issues is, yes, there are more and more women founders and entrepreneurs than ever, but still 90%, it's actually 95% of the money from venture capitalists goes to men, not to women. So, you know, these things are, they're realities that have to be changed. You know, in a lot of businesses, for instance, in the entertainment business, often the person who is the final say on something, whether or not they greenlight something, it's a man. Yes, there are a lot of women who are working for them and working with them, but, you know, it's often a man. That's the world we live in.
And do you think we're gender washing it a bit then? Do you think we overblow the fact of more women in senior roles if the ultimate decision, as you say, is male?
Yes, we kind of do, because when you scratch the surface, I mean, look, women have made huge strides. There's no question about that. But when you scratch the surface, the numbers really aren't so good. They're not that good. I mean, the number of women CEOs, it has grown, but it's still pretty low. And, you know, they've shown again and again that when it comes to financial matters, women are actually better than men, that women stockbrokers make better, more consistent profits than men do. Because men are all over the place. You know, they got that testosterone. They got that testosterone thing going. And, you know, they're very, very competitive. And, you know, they think with their other head. And Lord knows what's going on there, right?
It's all part of our complex charm, Candace.
Exactly. Where women are like, yeah, I'm just going to take a step back and make the rational choice.
Now, I want to go back a bit, because you mentioned the business of all of this. I assumed wrongly that what happened was HBO got in touch and they arrived with just a wheelbarrow of bullion, poured it at your door, and more or less you never had to work again. In actual fact, it was the novels that made you your money subsequent to Sex and the City rather than Sex and the City.
Yes, that is true. It was at writing best-selling novels is pretty good.
But how did you not make an absolute fortune off that show?
Well, you know, it's too complicated to go into. But I mean, the reality is that people make a lot less in entertainment than we think they do. Look, there are some people who are, you know, if you can have some kind of ownership Believe me, in the past, the old model of TV with just three networks, if you were in TV, you were making a lot of money because you could have ownership. They change all the rules. You know, the rules are changing all the time. And it's being in a creative field and doing something creative is usually, you know, for most people, it's a middle class or upper middle class life. That's the reality.
As in that they have sufficient resources to allow themselves to do it, or rather that they end up in the middle class?
They have sufficient resources doing it to allow them to keep doing it more, to keep working as, you know, a writer or an actor or, you know, whatever the creative thing is. I mean, that's the reality for most of the business, which is not to say that there are people making a zillion dollars, but you know what? People are making more money on social media right now and in venture capital than they've ever made before. So, I mean, if you want to make a lot of money, I don't know, like, go on OnlyFans. I mean, honestly, there was a woman, she made $4 million a month, and she's making $43 million a year. I'm never going to make that much money.
Well, you've teed it up, so I have to ask it. Have you ever been tempted, Candace?
Yeah. Okay. I'm 65. And you know what somebody said to me? Even on OnlyFans, there's a market for the older woman. I'm like, okay, I'm not doing it. It'd be a big pain in the butt, and you got to answer the questions and talk to the fans, in quotes. I'm like, honey, I can barely even answer a text, you know?
I love that that's the bit that has stopped you doing it. It's not the nudity. It's the answering fan questions.
But also, I mean, you would never, ever think that. But somebody was like, yeah, there's a market on OnlyFans for older women. Who would know? Who would have guessed?
It just proves there is a market everywhere for everything. Now, go back for a minute, Candace. We talked about the business side of this. What about the creative side of this? Because the wonderful thing about your own column in print is you can create it from raw clay. You can make it any way you want. You can farm whatever experiences you have. You have total control of it, save for some sub-editing and editing choices. Once it gets into the big TV machine, do you begin to see your darlings getting taken away? Did you find that a difficult thing?
You know, with Sex and the City, no, because I think they did an amazing job with it. I mean, let's face it, it's a success. And you know, to make a TV show, it requires at least 100 people, honestly. You know, these are actually important jobs. I don't know. I just felt like that, it just always felt right. It always felt 100% right. And that really is what they call lightning in a bottle, where it just works. For whatever reason, you know, the chemistry works. People like the actors. They want to see them. You know, there's just a lot of factors that go into a TV show, and it doesn't always go right. I mean, sometimes, like on Lipstick Jungle, I loved Lipstick Jungle. It lasted for 2 seasons. But there were 2 guys in charge. One was like the sort of director and the other one was like the head writer. They started fighting. And one of them got so mad at the other one, he was like, I'm going to destroy this show. And he did. So, you have to let it go, really.
Because Sex and the City was so rooted in your experience of New York around that time, people see it as being an insight into your life. First of all, is that true? And secondly, what is your life like now?
Well, my life now is not all that different than it was years ago, probably in the 90s. New York is a very social place. People go out here, they see each other. It's a creative place. You know, it's an exciting kind of place to live. So in that sense, it's similar to what it used to be. you know, I'm going to a couple parties tonight, going to see my friends.
And what about the love life? Are you married, single, in a significant relationship?
I am single, and so are all of the girlfriends I have who are my age.
And how does that compare? Again. How does that life compare if you are single at 65 compared to being single in your early 30s? Is the pattern the same? Is it radically different? Is it a different New York experience?
Well, I think that New York is probably a different experience for a lot of different reasons. There are definitely more people here, more tourists. There's more money.
Is there?
You know, oh, yes. I mean, there's a club that costs $250,000 to join, and that the membership was open for maybe 2 weeks, and now it's full.
To join, this is just a club, as in a, yes, sort of a residence you can attend when you $250,000, yes, just to join.
Yes, and it's full. It's like, oh, they're not letting anybody else in. They have, you know, their 200 members or whatever. So it's, you know, it's. It's interesting. It's an interesting scene. You know, I always find New York interesting. It was interesting to me before I started writing Sex and the City, and it's interesting to me now. So, and I have a lot of friends, and, you know, I love it. It's a certain lifestyle. It's not for everybody, but yeah, I love it.
The one thing, by the way, when we're talking about the time in the 90s, what was the reaction of people when the column was out to the risk that interactions with you, albeit they might be anonymized, but that they might end up in the column? Did people get wary of sharing with you?
No. I mean, it's really the opposite. People wanted to be in the column. People begged me to be in the column.
Did they really?
They were like, yes. I can't tell you how many times I've met somebody. They're like, what do you do? I'm a writer. Oh, do you write books? You should write a book about me. I've had the most interesting life. That happens 99% of the time. So, yes, people wanted me to write about them.
Could you do a Sex and the City nowadays? Because you now have dating apps, so much of interaction seems to happen through social media. That milieu of meeting people in bars, art galleries, clubs, all of that kind of thing, does that still exist? Does the same reality pertain for those characters that you were around at that time now?
Well, you know, how we meet people and people's attitudes towards each other and they're, you know, being conscious, status conscious and all of that is magnified. It's different, you know, how we, quote, meet people. But Sex and the City was never... It's not as superficially about dating and going on dates, etc., as people think that it is. It's actually anthropology. It's actually social and sexual anthropology. And in that sense, you know, people are always people, and they're still competitive. They're still driven by the same things, wanting to make it, wanting to feel good about themselves, however, you know, that plays out in their, you know, dating life. So, I mean, I actually, you know, it's technologically, it might be different, but people are the same. Are they driven by the same things?
Are they the same geographically? Because you're doing the tour of the one-woman show, The True Tales of Sex, Success and Sex in the City. As I say, Dublin's 3 Olympia on May 13th. As you, both through that and through other means, have been around the world, are we all the same or is New York unique?
Well, I feel like there's a certain kind of person in every city. It's more of like a psychic thing. You know, it's like they feel like they identify with Sex and the City. So they come to the show. What I will say is that people in, you know, my experience with doing the show around the UK and in other places, and even Canada, is that more people go to the theater as a regular kind of going out event. Whereas in the United States, people who go to theaters, you know, in kind of mid-sized cities or whatever, they're only seeing two kinds of things. They're seeing raunchy stand-up comedians or tribute bands.
There's a lot to be said for raunchy stand-up comedians and tribute bands, Candace.
Yes, but you know what? That's a certain, you know, that's a certain kind of audience. It is. And so those people are, you know, so those are the people who, you know, those are the people who go to theater outside of the city, you know, in the United States. Whereas in other places, going to the theater is a much more regular kind of thing. And I think there's probably a little more variety in what people will see.
Well, just to be clear then, in case people are worried about the possibility that they're drawing too big an inference from this, is there raunch in your show?
It's not raunchy. But on the other hand, it is a little, there are a couple of, you know, there is mention of sex.
Well, that's okay.
I mean, it's Sex and the City. It's the origin story of Sex and the City. So there are a couple of little, there are a couple of things in there. I think it's funny, but no, I mean, it's overall not raunchy. You know, I would say, you know, over 18. But on the other hand, that's what I would have said about Sex and the City. And I can't tell you how many people would come up to me. My daughter and I watched Sex and the City when she was 12.
Good Lord.
Okay, whatever.
On that note, Candace, it is great fun talking to you. Candace is going to be in the Olympia on May 13, 2025, and tickets are on sale now. Candace Bushnell, thank you so much.
Thank you. And it's the three Olympia.
Indeed. I won't remove from them their corporate sponsorship. In Ireland, the Olympia is very famous, so people will know the theatre, but I will make it absolutely clear. The three Olympia, Candace Bushnell.
Yes. Thanks.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Here's an offer you don't want to miss. For just $3, treat yourself to a Krispy Kreme donut, like their irresistible chocolate donut with sprinkles, and an any size hot coffee or refreshing iced tea. Just three. Whether you're fueling up for the day or just taking a sweet break, this deal is for you. Price and participation may vary. Offer valid December 10th through April 30th, 2025 at participating McDonald's while supplies last. Krispy Kreme and associated trademarks used under license. Copyright 2024 KKDC. Copyright 2024 McDonald's.